If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to this week's episode of Safe Room, a horror video game podcast and proud member of Bloody Disgusting's Bloody FM podcast network. I'm your host, Jay Krieger.
And I'm the other one, Neil Bolt.
And this week we're celebrating 15 years of horticulture home defense with PopCap's Plants vs. Zombies. This spooky spin on the tried and true tower defense formula replaces traditional towers with a variety of plants with defensive capabilities used to repel waves of increasingly creative and conniving zombies. So this is one of those games that I somehow have probably 100 hours playing on Steam. Despite how simplistic the game is from, you know, an outside glance, like, this is one of those games that when I think about PopCap, or I suppose what PopCap games sort of used to be, is probably the perfect distillation of what made them such a standout studio at the time of, you know, previous to this game's release, but especially once Plants vs. Zombies came out. I suppose, you know, Neil, for you, like, what is your sort of experience with PopCap games? And what do you think is sort of an inherent strength of that studio's body of work?
I think they define two things. You know, they define the beginning of the acceptance of indie games into the console space, and, you know, the beginning of decent quality mobile games, you know, like that, things that are really compelling. You know, early phones and for me are synonymous with Bejeweled, which is the first really addictive phone game I'd ever played, and I just absolutely loved it. And the same with the sequel. But beyond that, I mean, Christ, as much as there is a meme about, you know, Peggle and about that whole, you know, getting the guy getting excited on stage at E3 about announcing Peggle 2, that's how I feel about Peggle 2. You know, I think it's one of the most underrated sort of chill out games out there. You know, it just, the whole vibe of it, the whole, it just, you know, pachinko. You know, the thing that Konami were vilified for is absolutely bloody joyful in the hands of PopCap. And Plants vs. Zombies, that's just, I don't know, it's actually sort of permeated into gaming culture in a way that is bigger than you realize, I think, at times. And, you know, to the point that my kids have a legacy with it now, you know, in different, not just this game form, but all the spin-offs and things that it has gone off into over the years. And yeah, I looked through the body of work earlier, you know, looking into this again, and it's, yeah, really quite impressive. I think that those games, stuff like Zuma's Revenge and things like that, they did such a fantastic job on such simple concepts that you can kind of see where things went wrong, I suppose, a little. It's, you know, it's the EA thing. It's like EA said, hey, Plants vs. Zombies is cool, let's make it into a shooter, which, you know, in its own right is enjoyable, but it's like an online shooter in an era when they were just making tons of them. Didn't really work out very well for it. I think the sequel just basically tanked because of all that. So, but yeah, Plants vs. Zombies is just like the perfect middle ground, I think. You know, it's simple but challenging in a way that their other games aren't quite. You know, that it's not as immediate. It's a bit more methodical, and the concept is just wonderfully daft. I love it, and they really just go for it.
Yeah, you know, this game was released on mobile, on iOS, my senior year of high school. And, you know, not that that was my most productive year of high school, but like, I certainly didn't get shit done that year because of the fact that the few classes I did have to go to, you better believe I was on my iPod Touch playing this game in between classes and whatnot. And I think that, you know, even all these years later, Plants vs. Zombies really is the type of game that I think best shows what PopCap, you know, used to be known for, which is the fact that they made games that from the surface were very simplistic, super approachable. There's nothing about a majority of their games that is not accessible to everybody, despite what level of, you know, I hate to use the phrase, but like level of gamer they are, right? Whether or not you're a casual or a hardcore gamer, everything that they made in this era and shortly before the release of Plants vs. Zombies was the type of game that you could recommend to literally anyone, so long as they were at least open to the idea of playing games. And it, you know, I did just that. It was the type of thing where it's like, at that period, all my buddies played was Madden and Call of Duty, which, you know, is fine. But at the same time, like, I couldn't recommend them some of the nerdier shit that I was into.
Yeah.
Just because it kind of like was not part of their sort of regiment of games. And yet something like Plants vs. Zombies, which to people that, you know, maybe aren't the most hardcore gamers or whatever, they're like, well, that sounds ridiculous. But I was like, no, you know, just try it. And it was the type of thing where a majority of my buddies that I recommended it to was like, oh yeah, I can't stop playing that type of game. And then of course I was able to recommend them something like Peggle, and then of course Bejeweled and whatnot. And, you know, I think that Plants vs. Zombies though is probably the best example of their ability to, again, have games that are approachable by from anybody. But the fact that they're able to have like such hardcore layers to the strategy underneath the surface that by the time you get to the point in the game where you need to really, you know, start having more hardcore tendencies in terms of like, okay, how am I going to string together these plants and utilize those abilities that they have and sort of like make these combos almost to kill as many zombies as possible in as quick of fashion as possible. It ends up being the type of thing where it's like, yeah, I could see people that, you know, really aren't the most hardcore gamers all of a sudden kind of like falling into that trap almost. Yeah. Just like, okay, it's the first, you know, hour or two are pretty straightforward, but the deeper in the weeds you get, it's, you know, it's almost impossible, I think, to not sort of fall in love with what is very simplistic, but at the same time, it has great depth to it. And if anything, the more you lean into the depth of the strategy of the types of plants you want to use and the ways in which they can work in tandem with one another to make the best defense, you know, it is the type of thing that you can fall into that trap very quickly of, okay, one more game. Oh, I just got this amount of coins. I want to buy this new plant. Let's see how this kind of like fundamentally rewrites my plan of defense that I had for the past two or three stages. And it's just that infinite sort of regress of one more match, which I think speaks to PopCap Games' sort of like prowess that they used to have of being pick up and play. But, you know, as somebody that spent 2 days this week at work proctoring exams and had a lot of downtime, I mean, I was on my phone constantly just fucking playing it in between, you know, answering whatever questions I had to, because it's just, it's that type of experience where it's like, yeah, you know, I just learned this new combo after playing the game for whatever I said in the intro, like 100 hours. And all of a sudden I'm trying new things and I'm learning new strategies. And all of a sudden it's rewriting my game plan that I used to have in a new way and whatnot. And I think that speaks to simplified brilliance is kind of the way that I would describe this game.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's crazy how easy it is to pick up like that. You know, you look at everything in it now and it's quite staggering to think actually how much influence it's had. You know, it's not like the first tower defense game, but you know, there were more tower defense games because of it, you know, like that. It uses a card system, you know, which has become very popular in a lot of games in recent years as well, which surprised me looking back at it this last week to note that it was like quite in tune with like stuff like, you know, Slay the Spire, Marvel's Midnight Sun, stuff like that, that has these, you know, draw systems. Well, you know, it's a bit different, obviously, and a bit more simplified, but I quite enjoyed that aspect of it. The sheer challenge of it as well, when it does get going, is quite something. You know, like, it is, as you say, it can be so casual and chill for a while, and then it just gets so intense on later levels where you're having to sort of hedge your bets on how much you've got to spend and, you know, where you can put stuff to time things in the right order. Yeah, obviously, for each row that the zombies are trying to get through to get to the house, you know, which is the main point of the game, is that they want to get into the house to eat your brains, and your plants are basically all that's stopping. And, you know, your last line of defense is like a lawnmower on each line that will just like clear the line and give you one save. And there's nothing more stressful than later levels and, you know, those lawnmowers getting wiped out and your defenses getting torn to tatters and you having to sort of really do things on the fly and just like blocking them temporarily while you wait for more, you know, sunflower power to sort of come up. And oh yeah, it is just quite stunning. And you know, the fact that it's quite random and a lot of what happens means you really do end up having quite a fresh experience each time. And while the basics are there and similar, you know, the order of things isn't exactly the same. You know, you can't redo a level necessarily in exactly the same way because the zombies will come out slightly differently and you will have different things that happen. Which I didn't really notice until playing again recently, yeah. Where it's just, oh, yeah, you know what? This feels different. And I realized it's one of those games where you just don't, you know, it feels like, oh, yeah, I've seen everything. But yeah, it does just add stuff. And I think that and all the extra stuff you find there later as well really does help build it. It's one of those games as well, because of its simplicity, that it's one where you want to kind of buy it again on different things to sort of like complete it again and get all the trophies and achievements, sure, or whatever. You know, I do the same things for like Sonic the Hedgehog and the Katamari game, stuff like that. Stuff that I love to just play again and again and again and just start from the beginning, start again, get it all over again. And you know, it's true with Plants vs. Zombies. I don't even know how many times I've bought this game over the years. I think I most played it when it was on PS3. Then of course it didn't get like converted over, but then you could play the Xbox version, so I got that. And then, you know, when we were talking about playing this for this episode, I was like, well, it's on PC, why not? You know, like that, I'll do that. And of course it's a perfect Steam Deck game because it's touchscreen and you can just play it like a mobile game. And yeah, it felt fresh all over again, which is wonderful. Yeah, the perfect balance of being familiar and fresh, you know, like that. Even now, 15 years later, it's still got the magic.
So funny that you mentioned that, because it's the thing where it's like, yeah, I bought it on iOS. I obviously bought it on PC, had it on 360 at one point. And then when we were, you know, talking about covering it for the game for the 15th or for the podcast for the 15th anniversary, I was like, yeah, I could just reinstall it on Steam. But then, you know, my schedule this week was kind of hectic and, you know, my household is like spending a lot of time like rewatching old movies and whatnot that we've all been fans of for a while. So I was like, oh, well, in between, you know, watching stuff and whatnot, I could just download it on my phone because it's on, you know, Android and iOS. Yeah. So I literally just rebooted my sort of, I suppose, progress in the game and just started from scratch and been playing it on Android all week. And it was the type of thing where it's like I fell in love with the game all over again because it's been so long since I played it and whatnot. Maybe the third person shooter, Garden Warfare stuff that's come out is not necessarily my bag, even if it's, you know, a pretty decent experience. But it felt like just playing it all over again for the first time because of what you'd said, where it's like, yeah, for the most part, you know, you know the types of zombies and whatnot, more or less, that you'll face in a given sort of stage and whatnot. But at the same time, like, it is somewhat randomized on what exactly you'll face each time. So no match feels exactly the same. And, you know, we'll get into like the different types of plants and zombies and whatnot in a bit. But what I really appreciate about Plants vs. Zombies, and what I think helps it to be different from some tower defense games that I've played, is the fact that each one of the stages, if anything, is almost more important to the variety of types of experiences you'll have in this compared to like the types of zombies you'll encounter, because of the fact that they so fundamentally force the player to rewrite their strategy for each of those stages. And so, you know, the original stage is just kind of your run-of-the-mill yard, which you'll be collecting sunlight. You can plant whatever type of normal plants you will, but then, you know, you encounter things like nighttime, which all of a sudden you can't rely on sunlight in the traditional means. So you have this whole new crop of plants, which are shroom-based, so they don't need sunlight. And then you have the pool that's introduced, which introduces a new lane. But now two of the six lanes that are available, you have to put down lily pads so you can plant plants on top of them. And then you have fog, which creates fog of war, which obscures your vision from what you're going to be fighting. And then you've got the rooftop. And like, it would be so easy in the hands of the wrong developer to be like, yeah, each of these stages is just new set dressing. Sure, Now it's at night. Now there's a pool. Now there's those types of things. But like the fact that they throw these restrictions to what the player is able to do or create new challenges, like it makes each of those stages that much more, I suppose, important to the overall experience, like escalating in a way that doesn't feel artificial in the traditional tower defense sense, where it's like, now I'm going to throw times five the amount of enemies at you, or times 10 the amount of enemies.
Yeah,
it's not about that. It's more about, here are these modifiers based on the stage. And then, you know, the way it escalates in addition to that is that, you know, now you have this new zombie that has an ability that can counteract something that you've been given two stages previously. And like that sort of gradual progression, I absolutely love, because of the fact that how it is spaced between each of the new stages and each of the 10 levels that consists of a stage is that, again, for like casual people, the first stage is pretty, you know, run of the mill. There's not a lot of challenge there, but it teaches you the fundamentals that by the time you get to the night portion, the player is, you know, well attuned to what the game is asking you to do, the mechanics and whatnot. And then it scales in difficulty based on those modifiers and the types of zombies you're fighting, in addition to the types of plants that you're given that have both more defensive and offensive capabilities and whatnot.
Yeah. And I think you get later on as well, different types combine well together. Yeah. You have the, you know, using the pea shooters and the torch woods and things like that together to sort of set fire to the projectiles, things like that. You have like the butter projectiles, stuff like that, to slow things down. It's a really cool sort of evolution of things. You know, like, again, kept really simple, really easy to understand, and so you don't ever really feel like you're at your depth, even if you get intense. You know, it really does give you just the right balance of things, you know, like that. It is, and those little nighttime challenges, you know, they'd be very easy to dread, I think, in the wrong hands, I think. But again, you know, just having like a slight variation keeps you on your toes when you get those ones. And you know, same on the other side of it, you know, the zombies themselves, you know, you get used to a certain idea of like, you know, like the water lanes, then you get these ones that the different types that adapt to the water and can either jump over or pull things under and things like that. And you don't have it easy at any point. You know, at that point, you can suddenly make a mistake, and you usually got time to sort of make up for it. And you probably will suffer a little bit in terms of like losing a lane or whatever, or some of your production line. But you generally get away with a couple of mistakes like that and being sloppy. But I think at that point, you really do just get into the groove of it. And it's just like the only reason you get it wrong is because you just accidentally tap something on the wrong place or whatever. But otherwise, nah, like that. And, you know, that's like only part of the game, you know, really. As much as we're talking about this tower defense stuff, there's the fact that they've packed all the stuff behind it as well to sort of accentuate it. You know, it weirdly has lore to it, you know, like in terms of like, I think, you know, the wider games that have come out since have added to it, of course. But, you know, like it's, I think it started on the kind of footing where it was like, it's simple enough with such great character design that it's not hard to sort of get personalities and, you know, memeability of, you know, with what they're doing.
That speaks to sort of the old school PopCap game sensibility to things, where it was like, they're making these. So at the period when they were coming out with things like Bejeweled and Peggle, you know, mobile games were, for the most part, like very addictive because of the gameplay solely. And yeah. I always associated PopCap with having a great sense of identity in the sense of like humor or establishing lore and these things that like seemed as if they were qualities that, at least from my experience with a lot of mobile games, were always devoid of. It was the fact that it was like, we're going to capitalize on the gameplay and the sort of pick up and play addictive nature of that, which is fine. But PopCap always, it seemed at the period, went out of their way to have backstories, to have lore, to always utilize humor in an instance when a lot of other mobile games, it seemed, were not leaning into things like that. So I always associated PopCap experiences with having a great sense of identity no matter whether it was Plants vs. Zombies, whether it was Bejeweled in these things. And, you know, when you finally arrive at Plants vs. Zombies, and it is so much more refined in terms of those qualities, like, it was the type of thing where I was just like, oh man, this is such an outlier from what I am accustomed to. The fact that you can have the best of both worlds. And, you know, I know mobile games have come a ways since that, but it was the type of thing where when I was playing a lot of mobile games on like my iPod Touch or on my first smartphone, it was mostly just pick up and play because of the fact that, okay, I want to get this sort of like this buzz basically that'll last 5 or 10 minutes. And then I can just put it down and not think about it again until the next time I need my fix, basically. And then with Plants vs. Zombies, like, to have some semblance of longevity in the qualities that I typically attribute to a lot of console experiences, it just was like, yeah, it's pick up and play, but I want to stay playing it. I don't want to put it down almost immediately at the end of my next match. And I think that that's part of what allowed Plants vs. Zombies and, you know, EA's eyes, I suppose, and, you know, there is a good fan base for the Garden Warfare stuff that they've been doing, but it's the type of thing where it's like, that is a quality of the original Plants vs. Zombies that I think allowed it to flourish into other genres of games. That's what allowed it to grow in ways that, you know, for the period, maybe you didn't see a lot of mobile games growing into these full-fledged console experiences. And, you know, we can talk more about that sort of identity in a bit once we sort of come back from our break. And, you know, there's a lot more to talk about, I think, in terms of just like what allows this game not only to really flourish as a mobile game, but at the same time, you know, some of the horror aspects of this game, which are not maybe especially hardcore, but I think they are intrinsic to the sort of identity of this game and speak to the really, really awesome sort of strategic layers to, again, what is a very simplistic seeming game on the surface, but has a great deal of depth to it. But we'll have more on that in a moment. And we're back from our break. And something that I was talking about earlier was, you know, this sort of deceptive, I suppose, hardcore nature of Plants vs. Zombies. And a big part of that comes down to the fact that the player is defending this property with but six plants. And as you mentioned, like, there's this deck aspect to it that was definitely ahead of its time and whatnot. And I think that part of what, for me, allows Plants vs. Zombies as this deck-building game to work in a way that a lot of other deck-building games personally don't work for me is the fact that there is not this randomized aspect to it, right? A lot of the times with deck-based games, strategy games, is that, you know, you have a deck, but then you're drawing cards in a traditional manner that you would in a card game, which is you shuffle them all up and it's randomized based on the turns. But there is a more of a sense of like player agency and player empowerment, I think, in that each level of this game unlocks an additional plant, which then the player gets to decide, okay, I can only have six plants on mobile. It's additional because of the fact that, you know, there's some microtransactions, which we can touch upon, I suppose, briefly, if we even need to. But it's like when you're talking about the traditional Plants vs. Zombies experience, you've got these six plants and it's up to the player, and they have the freedom with which to, whenever they want, to use those plants based on the amount of sunlight that they've basically been harvesting. And I loved that aspect of this game, even on a replay, the fact that, you know, I live and die basically by the plants that I pick. And you're given a preview before each level of like what you'll face. Granted, that's somewhat obscured when you get to the fog portion of things, but like, what a fantastic concept that the player themselves is basically required to master the mechanics, and then they're given a preview and they have to use that prior knowledge to really craft the best deck in the per level that they can. And it doesn't have that randomized feature to it, which I think, again, you know, it's more putting emphasis on the fact that, you know, we're going to give you sort of like training wheels for that first act of this game, and the training wheels come off and it's up to you to adapt on the fly for every level to master the mechanics that have been introduced.
Yeah, it does. And I think the fact that you have to sort of unlock them bit by bit as you go as well, and like not just get given the full arsenal to begin with, it is a good way of doing that as well. So But there are enough levels as well by the end that, you know, you have had time to get used to everything you've got and more, you know, like that. I think the game as it exists now is a bit more like, it's bigger, you know, in terms of what you can do and what is in it. So it's, even that has been like a revelation in itself. But yeah, getting that sort of view at the beginning and being able to strategize a bit is no fun. You know, it's like, there's no one way that is technically right to do it. You could do it a certain way and give yourself like an extra bit of challenge, you know, like that, as you said. And I like that about it, that you can just set your own challenge. And again, that adds to the sort of replayability of it, that no level it feels the same because you can approach it in so many different ways. And put more or less pressure on yourself. There's always like an easy, safe way to go with certain things. You know, it's certain ones you'll use. But then you'll get to later levels and it's like, well, you know, if I like use a double or whatever like that, you know, that's riskier. Or if like using certain mushrooms in the night level, that, you know, again, you have the long shooter, which obviously as enemies gets closer, they hide, you know, things like that. It could be useful as early sort of things, but they have these inherent risks to them like that. And the deeper you go into the game, the more of these risks come out in what you're using. There's all reliables and stuff in certain ways. And if you want to be defensive, there's perfect stuff for that, you know, good old reliables, if you will. I mean, yeah, the obvious things you're going to be using are, you know, the sunflowers and stuff, but everything else is really just up for grabs. By the end, you can just go, yeah, you know what, I'll try a mushroom pack here, or I'll, you know, you have to use, obviously, certain levels do require certain things, like fog ones. You know, if you do get, like, plantains and stuff like that, that's good to have, because you can see through the fog and make it easier on yourself. Again, you don't have to, but, yeah, you know, it's pretty much implying that, you know, make the job easier on yourself, sort of thing.
Well, that's the thing, right, is that in the hands of developers that I suppose are not as attuned to that pick up and play mentality for things, you know, to see a developer that is attuned to that, that then decides to make a game that has more hardcore layers to it, all of a sudden you're including far more variables to the type of experience that you're making.
Yeah.
But at the same time, none of them necessarily feel like they are extraneous. That would always be my fear, is that you create games previous to something like this, where it's like, yeah, you've got this simplified mechanic, it's very addictive, but there might not be like a great deal of depth to it. But then once you have the opportunity to make something that has a lot more strategic depth to it, and, you know, there doesn't feel as if any plant or any zombie is wasted. Everything that is incorporated later on, especially the more modifiers that are added based on the different acts and whatnot, all of those plants feel perfectly viable within that specific act, right? It was the thing where when they remove the sunlight element and you're playing at night and you have to rely on those shroom plants and whatnot, you know, it fundamentally alters certain aspects of it. All of a sudden you get mushrooms which produce less sunlight, but gradually over time they'll flourish into ones that produce more. And all of a sudden that changes like the ebb and flow of combat in a way that fundamentally rewrites that opening early strategy. At the same time, you know, there's different mutations of plants that you get where, you know, the primary sunlight producer is going to be a sunflower, but then you get later on down the line, you can upgrade them into double sunflowers, but that has a much higher cost. So all of a sudden you have this plant that from the outset, like, has a very cheap initial cost of like 50 sunlight, but is slow to produce. All of a sudden in the end game of a level, you can have like a bigger reserve of sunlight, and all of a sudden you can make it so it's a double-headed sunflower. So now it produces twice the amount, but there's then that problem of like, it costs, you know, three times the amount. So that might take away from something else that I've been saving up for, which is like a more aggressive offensive plan.
Yeah.
And there's like so many layers to the different deck combinations that you can have that will either facilitate an early advantage in a level, or you're playing the long game and thinking, okay, maybe my initial playthrough of a level will be, you know, pretty slow, but it's building to the back half of the game when, you know, you get this swarm of zombies at the end where I'll be flush with sunlight and all of a sudden I can have these upgrades, or I can, you know, bolster my defensive capabilities or my offensive capabilities. And that just speaks to, you know, how deep the plant pool is of options, and really speaks to, you know, the player at a certain point kind of just being given all these variables. And it's like, hey, man, fucking, you've been playing this game long enough based on the act or the level you're in. You decide what type of play style you want. And it feels, for the most part, like a lot of those plants, you know, they can be obviously used for their primary intention, but there's also like a secondary strategy I find with a lot of the plants in this game, that if anything was like even more refreshing on this playthrough, that I had.
Yeah. The plants are definitely so flexible in terms of what you can use them for, like that. And just the sheer amount of them is actually still quite surprising. But I do love as well the sort of, on the other side of it, the sort of meta narrative of this idea that the zombies get more outlandish the further you go, as they get more desperate to get in, and their very simple objective of like getting in and eating your brain, which, you know, as an aside here, you know, when we talk about a horror aspect of this game, you know, that's still quite, you know, like feels quite brutal to this day. You know, if you do accidentally let one in, and you know, you hear that they get in, and it's just that, you know, shriek, you know, and they suggested it's so B movie, but it works so well for the game, and it does feel like, you know, the little dun 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 sort of thing. It's such a majestic thing.
I feel like a lot of zombie games, they typically tend to lean towards like the Romero side of things, whereas Plants vs. Zombies, I find, really much, very much leans into like Return of the Living Dead, which is more like there's a little bit of humor behind everything, or a lot of humor behind things, but at the same time, there is still that, you know, they're going to eat your fucking brains aspect to them.
That's it. And yeah, that's why it's funny, because as I said, you get these early kind, and bit by bit, they get more absurd. Yeah. You get the normal ones, they're fair enough. Then you get the ones with traffic cones on the head as armor, which is in itself is just funny, you know, like that. It makes sense, but it's, you know, it's funny. Then they, you know, upgrade to buckets, and you get the pulvers and things like that. And, you know, the screen door one's funny as well. Just like little things that are just, again, and this is where Return of the Living Dead makes sense. You get this sort of evolution of like, ah, so this works, now we'll try this instead. And then it does just get pure outlandish. You know, you get stuff like the dancing zombies and the fucking Zomboni one, which is, because to this day, it's just, the fact that they're then followed by the bobsled team as well. Just, little things like that. Just the touches make you laugh, even as much as they are a threat at that point.
Since you're mentioning like some of the ridiculous aspects of some of the zombie designs, right? You know, the almanac, which acts as like the bestiary basically for this game, is the type of thing that I don't typically like peruse per se. But at the same time, with something like this, it speaks to not only, you know, really great monster design, but at the same time, it speaks to PopCap's humor sensibilities, which is apparent throughout every single game I think they've ever made that I've played. Because, you know, you mentioned like the conehead zombies. It's like, conehead zombie shuffled mindlessly forward like every other zombie, but something made him stop, made him pick up a traffic cone and stick it on his head. Oh yeah, he likes to party. Like, the descriptions of these are so pitch perfect for as ridiculous as they look. Like, even the screen door zombie, he got a screen door from the last inexpertly defended home he visited after he ate the homeowner's brains. Like, the fucking bestiary, like, it's so refreshing to go back and revisit a game that treats the core concept, the art design, the music, the humor, and even the fucking bestiary seemingly with the same level of, I suppose, importance to the image of what this game is and where it fits within PopCap's sort of games library. I find that to be so incredibly refreshing that like through and through every aspect of this game, it feels intrinsically tied to like PopCap's identity and just how strong that Plants vs. Zombies branding is.
That's it. Yeah, it's always a treat to see the things they come up with. I know it's that, again, has expanded so much over the years in terms of the ones they have, but in that classic collection, there are so many, you know, and it's like, I couldn't, always hit in my head the bungee zombies and the screamers, you know, they sort of shoot down to grab stuff like that. It's one of those video game sounds that's just burned into your ears for the rest of your life, I think. And yeah, I love stuff like that. It's just, you know, zombies in general, I think, I suppose for you, does it feel kind of similar to the reasons you love, like, you know, Zombies Ate My Neighbors? It has that sort of whimsical B-movie approach to zombies that's maybe more like the EC comic sort of idea mixed with something a bit more, like I said, whimsical, I suppose,
I mean, absolutely. You just characterized that far better than I could have. I mean, it really does lean into not only PopCap's dedication for the reasons that I mentioned, but like Rich Werner's art style for this game, I find to be cartoony, whimsical, but more importantly, I think it is very expressive in that even if you didn't go into that almanac of zombies and plants and like look into the attack styles and the capabilities and the speed of these zombies, like you can derive a great deal about them just from looking at them, which I find to be so imperative to these types of games that are very pick up and play because of the fact that, you know, unless you're a hardcore gamer like us and whatnot, it's the thing where it's like, you might not look into that almanac to do research or background research, like watch film, sports film, basically on the zombies to like really understand all of the ins and outs of them outside of just encountering them for the first time. So when you're able to actually understand on some level what a plant or a zombie is capable of just by looking at it, that's so important to the sort of casual nature of this game in that it's like, it's very approachable, so anybody can play it, but they get just a little bit more of that hardcore aspect without even, I suppose, necessarily meaning to go in that route or have that sort of relationship with the game. I mean, when you see a pole vaulter zombie for the first time, it's like, oh shit, I bet he's going to leap over a plant. And that's exactly what he does. You have the screen door zombie, which it's like all of a sudden he's got a shield, which kind of throws you for a loop the first time. But then when that's introduced, of course, you have that bubble shroom plant, basically, which is used to counteract it and so forth. I mean, the first time I saw the dolphin riding zombie, I basically shit myself because I was just like, oh, fuck, he can jump over a whole row of plants, basically. And, you know, the way in which, again, I keep coming back to like the way this game escalates and grows in terms of the different types of plants that the player has, but then how there's always a zombie that can counteract that or can work against that specific inherent sort of skill set that that plant has is, again, a testament to just PopCap being so refined in the types of experiences that they were making. But I keep coming back also to like the fact that you can scale the level of strategy that's here, where it's like, yeah, on a certain level, I'm always going to use a repeater plant because of the fact that it fires two pea pods instead of one. And I could either go in the route of like, okay, I've unlocked an upgrade, which gives it like a Gatling gun component to it that upgrades it to whatever, five or six pea pods instead of just the two. Or I could save some of my sunlight and I could rather invest in what is a tree stump that's on fire. And if I place it in front of those pea pod repeaters, all of a sudden the peas that pass through that are on fire and they deal more damage and it's lingering damage and these things. And like, that's just a quality to this game that if you weren't a hardcore player, you could be like, yeah, you know, I'll go for what's been working for me. But if you are really a hardcore player, you could build these layers that all of a sudden don't necessarily rewrite what you've been doing, but they just modify them in a way that feels gradual, I suppose, because no matter what you unlock or what combos you utilize, it never feels like the end all be all of the game, which could very easily be the case in the hands of, you know, somebody that doesn't understand sort of the intricacies of the pick up and play sort of mentality.
Yeah, that's it. And I suppose something we haven't sort of gone into here is like the stuff beyond the main game, you know, these extra modes and stuff, you know, like you have your co-ops, your verses and things like that on different modes and on different versions over the years. But like, the mini games are quite cool in terms of like refreshing the general idea and like putting little spins on and challenges on that. Same with the puzzles as well, which is you know, an obvious one in terms of having something a bit different. But survival mode, basically the idea is, you know, the sort of wave-based thing going on for longer. I like that because it gives you a little less control and sort of just lays a few things on you at a time, and you have to kind of get on with it. And I like that. It feels like a hardcore mode, if you will, effectively for the game, whilst feeling almost completely different of how it plays. I mean, obviously, it's not story based in the same way, which is as limited as the story is for this game. It's mostly about Crazy Dave and all his shenanigans, but. Yeah, it's nice to have like all these extra modes and feel meaningful, you know, as well. When you get a bit frustrated, maybe after a few levels, and to go about and just try something a bit different, and then come back to it. And the fact that it throws a few things like that into the main story as well, you know, these little extras like the bowling game and stuff like that. It's just stuff like, I love that because it just refreshes. Game, yeah, and you don't just have a procession of the same sort of kind of levels all the time like that, you know? Whereas, you know, there are obviously different challenges per level and style, in terms of what you have and what the zombies have. Getting levels like that in between makes it all the more interesting, because it's like now it's like you kind of have a freedom but you don't, sort of thing, like that. And I think those sort of end of stage sort of levels where you are just sort of getting that sort of conveyor belt stuff, and in terms of like, and you're having to pick things as they come and choose the right thing at the right time, like that. Again, little touches here and there that just make a very simple idea so flexible, you know. I think, and the fact that this game is very simple at its core is why they are able to, you know, do so much with it.
You know, I think that those mini games, and this was something I was only able to really appreciate on this most recent playthrough, they always come at the absolute perfect moment. And, you know, I think that especially when you're playing the game, probably just for, you know, because of the time constraints of coverage and balancing that with everything, it's the type of thing where it's like, yeah, you get to a certain point when you play this game enough that it's like the first, I don't know, the first 5 to 10 minutes, that might be too long, but maybe the first few minutes of any match, it feels very routine, right? Because, you know, you start with 50 sunlight, you're going to put down a sunflower, you're going to try to get as much sunlight as possible so you can start planting some offensive and defensive plants and whatnot. But at the same time, like, you're going to be dealing with very minimal waves of zombies, and they're very basic to begin with. And it is very routine for the first 2 minutes of the game and whatnot, which can get repetitive, right? Yeah. Because that's the general flow of things. So when you're playing this game on a time crunch like I was this week, and you are playing a couple levels back to back, by the time you get halfway through an act, which is probably 4 or 5 levels, and you get one of those mini games, it is incredibly reinvigorating because of the fact that it's using the mechanics and the fundamentals that have been there, but it throws you this curveball that makes it feel like it is a new almost experience for that one level. And I think that like the bowling mini game is a perfect example of that. The Whack-A-Zombie is a terrific example of that.
Yeah.
And it's nice to not have the same like sunlight restrictions that you do for that one level, that by the time you finish that experience, which can get pretty hectic, but because you have what is, instead of like accruing sunlight, you have a conveyor belt of different types of plants that when they pop up, you can plant them immediately. Like, it doesn't make that initial 2 to 3 minutes of the next match that are fairly routine feel as, I don't know, cumbersome as they can be after a while. And it's a nice sort of just like break from the norm that when it's time to dive right back into the what is the majority of the experience, it's just a nice sort of reprieve, I think, from what you expect. Plus, because of the fact that there's no cost to plants other than the wait time for it to stroll on through that conveyor belt, like there is more of an intensity because of the fact that when you get to a certain point, you might have one of those it's not a repeater, but it's a similar pea pod plant that instead of one or two heads, it has three. So all of a sudden, you know, right off the bat, like, oh, okay, there's going to be a plethora of zombies versus the typical one or two. There might be 3 to 4 spawning now, but since I have this plant that can shoot 3 at a time, it's not as much of an issue, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I like that sort of like throwing the player more of a challenge, but at the same time, like, you're alleviating some of the restrictions that they typically have. And that, for me, always felt like this perfect sort of like equalizer between an experience that I already like, but you're giving me something that's more of a challenge while not feeling artificial in the typical sense where it's like, oh, this is bullshit. It's more like, no, you're being given these modifiers and you need to use what you already know about this game to sort of like meet them halfway with this challenge that is not the brunt of the experience.
Absolutely not. And it's a free pizza, by the way. Simple as that.
Creepy, there you go.
Yeah,
I should have assumed it'd be something as simplistic as that.
Exactly, yeah. That's always, most of the names are pretty much like that in that case. Right.
You know, but knowing that you were such a fan of game soundtracks, what did you think of the score for Plants vs. Zombies? Because on a replay, this stood out to me a lot more than it did initially, probably when I played this, you know, back in high school.
Yeah, that plinky plonky sort of music is again just something that stayed with me ever since. And it was just part of that sort of golden age of like different game soundtracks and stuff. Like, I think, you know, it had the Zombies on My Lawn song as well. Which, yeah. This is around the same, not long after Portal, and just, you know, we've had Still Alive and stuff like that. It's just, we had this era of just like weird little songs and weird little games, and it was like, it felt perfect, you know. Like, I very much correlate Portal with this in terms of like a certain era of time and certain like small games coming to consoles, like, and they're interesting and different, and like they're a bit odd, and they finish with you know, a song, and they've got some sort of meme attached to them, stuff like that. It's the sort of meeting point of, you know, this kind of game, these kind of games, where consoles were, you know, like where the internet was in terms of, like, I mean, PopCap, you know, were very much a beneficiary of like early Facebook in terms of like game integration, you know, as well. Where stuff like Bejeweled, I lost countless hours playing Bejeweled on fucking Facebook, which, yeah, I think. All these years later, not going near it really, it's kind of weird to think. But yeah, it's weird how, you know, hearing that music again, just, it takes me back constantly. Yeah, it just, it's like a proper nostalgia hit. And I think it is that sort of, again, quite B-movie, sort of Danny Elfman-esque sort of thing going on, you know, like that, but in a very simplified way. It just fits perfectly like that. It's the thing about this game, knowing that EA, of course, kind of took over all this, and it feels a bit like a perfect example of like, here's the keep it simple, stupid thing. You know, it's like, you don't have to push things too far. You know, you can have a simple idea with some simple things, and it just makes everything in it feel fantastic if you do it right. You know, if you get the core of that game right, it's just going to work and you'll be fine. And yeah, again, this is why I really do look at something like Portal at the same time, because it's such a simple game in concept, but what Valve do with that game is just phenomenal, you know, like that. And this is another one of those where it's like, easy idea, works. And it's very much the basis of a lot of indies from that sort of 2007 to 2012 period, you know, where the indies were really starting to bring out the ideas while the mainstream gaming was sort of chasing the COD dollar. We had these small experiences really going for it and kind of going back to the basics, but in new, fresh ways. And we got all these cool franchises or new beginnings in these new developers that would go on to make like some fantastic games. I mean, you think of like that early Xbox Live Arcade era, you know, as well. It does feel like a bit odd, and it's cynical why that happened in a way, especially on the PlayStation side, that generation where they were just trying to really catch up in terms of getting the indie stuff. But at the same time, I'm thankful for it, because I think had I not had like a PS3 and had those lean years when, you know, they weren't really putting out a lot, and what they were putting out wasn't great, and you know, they were really struggling in those early years. They were starting to bring in these smaller games that were at least interesting and different, and having a digital console for the first time, you know, like this, it would really felt more like a PC in terms of like, oh, I can have all these different things on here, and I don't have to go like case to case to case. I can just play some stuff like that. And yet it's hard to take this out of that context. It is definitely part of that specific point in history that, you know, there's things you remember about it. You know, it's just before mobile phones really changed to the thing they are now. And, you know, Facebook was still somewhat unsullied, I suppose is the best way to put it. I mean, what, Twitter was just like becoming, you know, at this point, you know, stuff like that.
At the point that this was released and Twitter was, you know, popping off, it was people talking about what they fucking had for lunch or what they were doing for the day.
Yeah, exactly. It's mad. It feels weirdly like a second childhood in a way. You know, like this period of time where you're like, oh, everything felt better then, you know, like that in a way. Even though, but then if you look closer, of course, you saw the other side of it, which is the big stuff was all going a bit wrong and it was getting a bit indulgent and there were problems in the industry that haven't really gone away. But this particular side of it was interesting. You know, and it's the reason why, you know, we're here today and we have a podcast go and talk about like small indie horror games and stuff like that, because stuff like this kind of laid the foundation for that kind of interest to show that, hey, games can be fun in any format. You know, like, I'm not going to lie and say I didn't look down on mobile games as a form of gaming. You know, I was constantly frustrated by the idea of portable gaming at that point because it could never quite replicate what I wanted. And I think a problem a lot of handheld and mobile games tried to make at the time was trying to make something relative to the big experience and not being able to do it like that. And you know, I think Sony especially struggled with the PSP. And yet the solution was simple. It was something that indie games have shown year on year on year. Take the old ideas, give them something new like that, and here we go.
I mean, absolutely. I totally co-sign that because it was the thing where I definitely used to look down on a lot of mobile games and certain degree still do. But maybe that's just because of the fact that, you know, PopCap was able to capitalize on that space in a way that, you know, something like Bejeweled, you know, it feels like that is the best distillation of what mobile games should be. But then with things like Peggle, with things like Plants vs. Zombies, they're able to deliver and capitalize on that same thing that made Bejeweled so great, but they're able to apply, I suppose, the level of craft that we were familiar with things like, you know, console games or PC games, but now it's in the palm of our hand at that point, right? And I think that that was such a big deal. And it speaks to part of why, you know, this was one of those mobile games that like I couldn't put down. And that was because of the fact that it was the first mobile game I played that I didn't just consider to be a mobile game. I was like, no, this is just a game on its own.
Yeah.
And it sounds so simplistic to say, but it's just like, that was not my relationship with mobile games. Mobile games I played for 5 minutes and then didn't think about after that. And Plants vs. Zombies was the type of game that was able to capitalize on my love of mobile game, which was that addictive nature, that pick up and play. But at the same time, it gave me what I wanted from mobile games that a majority of them at the period, and to a certain extent, they still necessarily don't. It gave you that world building. It gave you that sense of humor. It gave you the depth in terms of how they were able to build off of that core experience in ways that used those variables, but threw you that curveball and gave you that variety, whether it was the mini games. And one mini game I didn't mention, which I only just somehow discovered, was when you are going into this more of a hardcore mode and you are fighting zombies, but the zombies have plant heads.
Yeah.
So now you're dealing with a zombie that has either a pea pod head or a variety of, you know, like the walnut head and these things. So you have zombies that have certain plant attributes. And like, that was such a fantastic sort of spin on that core concept of the game and the core mechanics. But now you have that much more hardcore sort of modifier to it, which again, talk about just like taking a game and you keep exposing new layers that are just building from that very, you know, overtly simplistic initial layer. But I think that speaks to just like how refined Plants vs. Zombies is, which again, speaks to that sort of like old school mentality of those PopCap games. And granted, I haven't played a great deal of Garden Warfare and whatnot, but you know, it has its audience, but I'm really excited to see how PopCap is able to kind of like return to the well with something that's a little more traditional, the Plants vs. Zombies. And I believe right now they have Plants vs. Zombies 3 in development, but it's being done by EA Mobile. So it will be interesting to see if it has, I suppose, some of the free-to-play microtransaction shortcomings that Plants vs. Zombies 2 did. But we'll have to, you know, wait and see with that.
I think it's had a soft launch. I think it is available to play on certain services, but I've not seen anything like disastrous. So it must be doing something okay, I'd imagine. So
yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Is that like, and we don't have to get into a whole thing about it, but like Plants vs. Zombies 2 was one of those games where initially there was a lot of pushback because of the free-to-play microtransaction pitfalls and whatnot. But then when I actually got down and played it, it was the type of thing where I was like, I mean, that stuff's not great. At the end of the day, though, like, again, PopCap had such a strong foundation there that building upon that, you know, whatever, 10 years later or a little less than that, it was the thing where I was like, I mean, they haven't lost their touch in some regards.
No.
Not the best business practices, I suppose, in getting swallowed up by EA and the ramifications of that. But like EA, I suppose PopCap, though, like, understands what made Plants vs. Zombies such a standout in not only their catalog, but I think mobile games in general. You know, but we'll wait and see until we get that full release of Plants vs. Zombies 3.
Absolutely.
Well, that's going to do it for our chat on what is yet another week, very self-indulgent pick on my part, one of my favorites of all time. But we're going to dive in next week to a game that neither one of us has played. But I chose this game because of the fact that we had such a great time. You know, you had a great time revisiting. I had a great time playing it for the first time, that being Norco, which was a visual novel adventure game that has a very sort of like steampunk aspect to it or aesthetic to it. And I chose to pick Citizen Sleeper, which is similar, but maybe leans more into the RPG mechanics, but of a cyberpunk sort of world to it. So yeah, I'm really excited to kind of dive into that because it seems to be in line with our interests, both narratively speaking, but also, you know, world building at the same time, but maybe has a little bit more of a hardcore edge to it.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to kind of dive into that fresh for both of us next week. But until then, my friend, as always, it's a pleasure chatting horror with you for Safe Room.
Back at you. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Safe Room. If you enjoy the show, please rate us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Safe Room Pod for show updates. As always, our main episodes for Safe Room drop every Monday, but our bite-sized episodes of Horror Bites, our indie horror showcase, drop every Thursday. You can follow Horror Bites' Twitter account at horrorbites_SR. You can join our Discord channel, Safe Room Podcast, to chat with us and other horror fans about the genre we all love. And finally, you can send emails to saferoompod@gmail.com if you'd like to share your thoughts on a game we have or are going to cover. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys next Monday.